Welcome along to the Short Ball of Rugby Pass podcast. Scotty Stevenson, Mills Mulliaina and Ellie Williams with you. It's a full compliment today. Welcome, Ellie. We missed you the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, sorry, lads. Real world's getting in the way of the way of the stuff. I deeply and sincerely apologise for last week's.
Well, it probably doesn't help that I'm shit at organising stuff.
Mate, your organisation is horrific.
It is.
There is no planning. You give us all of about 3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, Mills needs 2.5 to do his hair, and you don't exactly give us a lot of time.
I'll tell you what. He was a lot more energetic last couple of weeks than what he is at the moment because, jeepers, he seems a bit down at the moment, doesn't he? We need a bit more from you, mate. Couple of weeks you've been outstanding.
Oh, righto, Ted. There he is. Didn't drink last night, Ted.
This is what happens. Everyone turns into Graham Henry eventually. Wams, I have been following your TV work over the last couple of weeks, so you've come out pretty strongly on some issues around the game. What's the biggest issue for you right now in rugby union?
Oh,
is there one thing that's...
I wouldn't say there's one thing. I think that it's in a real transition. I think it's really, it's at a position that you can grab hold of it and we can really take it into the next generation or something like that,
mm-hmm.
If there's the right words. But we all need to start working together, I think. I think we are still very much separated by Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, incentives, and then you've got the Super Rugby, and then the international sides, and all that sort of stuff. Where if we can, and I do understand that everyone's got their own sort of agendas in that. If we can work together as much as we can, then we'll create a global game that truly is global. And I suppose that's the big one at the moment for world rugby. And then you've got little areas around Super Rugby and how we can make that better and all that sort of stuff. But it's always like this, isn't it? Start of the year, a talking point, how we're going to change the world. You get to the end of the year and you think, oh, one more week of international rugby and she's over and we've got cricket.
That's it. We spoke about it last week, Millsy, about world rugby. They're obviously now gone into full crisis mode to try and sort something out. Here's the thing. I think we can establish some facts around this. Someone's offered them a wedge of cash.
Mm.
They've gone, that sounds really good. Let's do something real quick so we don't lose out on this. But your point is so true, Ellie. You've got to work together, but you've got to work together in a way that globalises the game and keeps the game sustainable. And that's where the tension for me is, because I've said it for a long time, I'd love to see the game really take hold in the USA professionally, but they're not there yet in terms of playing these international games against top-tier opponents. Japan has become, I don't know what to describe Japan rugby at the moment. It seems like it's like an overflow site for Kiwis. But Japan rugby is hosting the Rugby World Cup. They deserve a break. I don't know if the Sunwolves will last. So then you've got to think about what's their pathway to international tier one rugby. And then we've got the Pacific question. So I just don't know how much is going to be resolved with the same unions and the same meetings around the same table, all trying to protect their own parts of the puzzle.
Yeah, my view is that we are staying strong on this tier one, tier two union type thing, where the reality to me is it's world rugby now. So it's not tier one, it's not tier two, it's you're graded, your performance is tier one and your performance is tier two. But realistically, we're all as one. And so for me, I don't have a problem or an issue with New Zealand playing Romania every 10 years or until Romania get up to a standard where you can play them more consistently. I think that's good for the game. I think the diversity in that game is good. But what I struggle to see is how are we giving these and why are we being so financially driven by saying New Zealand always has to play Australia three or four times, when New Zealand will fit out a crowd playing Romania, playing wherever. Australia will do the same because, you've got your supporting and you keep it quite tribal and nation versus nation. Hence why the Six Nations is so successful. It's, people challenge whether the game of rugby and up there is as good as it is down here and blah, blah, blah. I have different views. I think that Wales-England game was absolutely outstanding.
Absolutely.
For the old school reasons. So for me, you've got to get to the nation versus nation and bring in the history and all that sort of stuff. And then the game is going to expand. So Japan is always going to have a great rivalry with China or with New Zealand or with the like. So explore them round. Get them round,
But you can't – the thing – and that's probably the problem. The problem that they had last week was They didn't get them round. They got a whole heap of cash and decided to chuck a USA and a Japanese team. And that's obviously where the cash is going to come from. Mm. And then all of a sudden, those guys don't merit being in that top 12. So now they've come out and said, well, let's have a promotion relegation, which is perhaps what they should have thought about from the very beginning. I mean, don't get me wrong. You always say that if they're going to be in the top 12, which is what you're saying, they're not there. And then they're going to get hidings every week.
Mm. Yeah.
And so they're not going to be marketable. You know, they're on the cusp of being in that 12. You know, they beat Samoa last year, so they could warrant it in the next couple of years. But when you come out and say, well, here's the top, the 12 nations, and you have those two sides in it, everyone else is going, well, how the hell did that happen? Because mm-hmm. you've got the likes also of Georgia, mm-hmm. who have stumped Fiji. You know, they went and beat France last year.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you create all this anxiety and angst against them. And instead of just thinking about it right from the very beginning, instead of thinking about all this money that you're usually ching, 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 ching. Don't chase it, mate.
Cash is king. Well, the other thing too, and I was thinking about this on the drive in to do the pod today.
Oh, well, your driver's had a holiday or what, mate?
he's on a break.
he's on a break this week?
Yeah.
Good of him.
He's doing Uber during the week now. The real challenge for rugby, I don't think, is to grow the game globally. I think it's to reestablish it locally. New Zealand's in this problem. We've got a generation now coming through that are nowhere near as entrenched in a rugby landscape as kids my age, as people my age or a generation below. So it's this next generation who you want to make card-carrying rugby fans. Are you going to do that by having a global rugby tournament every year? I don't think you are. And this argument that we want the money in here so we can reinvest in the grassroots, so I think it's the horse before the cart. Because only by investing in the grassroots are you going to grow the game here in your own country, which makes you strong anyway. We're not seeing the crowds we used to at games. Some kids like me who went to games every Saturday at 2:30 p.m., we experienced that. That was our experience of rugby, provincial rugby. These days, 7:30 kickoffs, I know that they've got to be done. That's just this how it is. But kids don't go to those games like we used to. So you're missing out on that live audience, that live experience for kids. They're not getting involved in the game. You can't tell me that they're going to be up at 3 in the morning watching a Northern Hemisphere tour game. They're just not going to be. So if you understand my logic, Australia's got an issue with growing the game back at grassroots. South Africa needs to grow the game back at grassroots. So does New Zealand. Wales, I see, decided to take advantage of World Rugby's nightmare and had a clusterfuck of their own this week with the regional redevelopment of their game. So, you know, which is all very Welsh. We've got to find a ways to make the game relevant in our own countries before we start thinking that globalisation is going to save rugby union. I think that is absolute rubbish. And I think World Rugby's biggest beef at the moment is that they want to be FIFA.
Yeah.
And that's not an ambition for a game like rugby union. No. I am sorry, the money sounds good, but FIFA is hardly a bastion of good behaviour and above board dealings. They're just not. So, is that where we want to go with the game?
I agree with you. I mean, I agree. You've still got to look at the top element of the game because that is the financial stronghold and where it comes in. But how are we nurturing that new generation? And my challenge is that the new generation is actually changing and moving so fast in terms of what they like, what they don't like. What they'll pay for, what their experiences. And that, to me, is where we're getting caught up. And now, so financially, what we're looking at is we're going, well, we haven't changed our game. Yes, we've bought in sevens, and I respect that, but what are we doing globally to sevens to attract it? And where's the financial benefit coming from the top of our game? Because my understanding is that World Sevens is not actually making a hell of a lot of biscuits, if anything.
Sure.
So they're almost funding it back in. So that's our only development in the game. Where is it coming from? Where's the new generation of rugby that the new kids go, well, this is Instagram of rugby or this is Facebook of rugby because it's not there. Where cricket did it and look what happened.
Yep. So what you're saying, instead of thinking about what tournament we should have, you're thinking about looking at the very structure of the game, creating a sport for a modern audience.
Correct. I mean, look – cricket moved, and we keep harping on about cricket and how it's moved, but it moved from a 5-day traditional test match to a 3-hour match. Yeah. And it changed. we need to look like this, keeping the inherence and the values of rugby, but in a different type of format to give us a different type of audience, to give us a new breed for the new generation.
I think you're right. I think what you're suggesting here is nerd games.
That's an option, and I'm not one that's averse to new games, you know what I mean? I have played the odd one myself, and it gets a bit tricky, doesn't it, Shab?
You have played yourself nude rugby?
Oh, yeah. Not publicly. I'm not big enough.
Mate, you're crazy.
Well, I'm just not big enough, mate, unfortunately.
You've never had a nude game?
No, I've never had a nude game.
Are you a never nude?
I don't mind getting out there, mate.
But just
in my own house.
Just asking the question.
Running the 100 metres with...
You've got to have support running 100 metres. Put your tongue away while we're talking about nude rugby. I can't deal with this conversation. That's an interesting point. And the first time I've heard that raised in this conversation,
You can't use cricket as an example, though, because it helps that you've got 50 million, you know, Indians that are going to and wealthy that are going to provide that. I mean, the Sevens is probably the model that you're going to. And when you look at the Sevens, they're not making money. I think you're right. But look at where USA have come. You know, they're making the finals all the time. So when you look at how attractable rugby is, this is where we're so divided, because everyone doesn't want to come together because they're trying to take care of their own backyard.
Mm.
You know, when you're trying to take care of your own backyard, I mean, you look at the Mitre 10 Cup at the moment, that's shot. You know, look at it compared to what it was when, I mean, it was just probably starting
when you were
to,
playing,
yeah, just starting to sort of go downwards. But after we sort of finished up, but that game's gone. So all of a sudden, that's, and I appreciate that's possibly why, when the money comes out, you know, that's the first thing, you know, guys, administrations look at.
That money is not going to go back into funding anything other than the expanded teams required to play in a global tournament.
50 All Blacks.
50-man squads. That's two buses, 50 hotel beds, and another 10 support staff. Exactly. I mean, that $10 million or whatever the figure might be soon gets eaten up just in the logistics of playing in this tournament.
So where my argument comes in is we've got to find new money and new ways to formulate that money. The Sevens has found new money for America, right? Because when it's an Olympic sport, Americans jump onto it. And I think, and I could be wrong here, but something like around 50 million goes into a sport to go and get it Olympic medals, right? And so therefore, New Zealand, USA Sevens is on the trajectory, but it's new money.
Mm.
We're still hounding that traditional old rugby money and traditional old rugby sponsors, the bank, you know, your insurance people, the car guy, for that money. Where are we expanding? Where are we going global? Where are we redirecting this game called rugby to find different options to carry on with the new generation?
Where can they go? I mean, every year they have this flash rugby awards in Monaco.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I mean, but
what's
it sort of seems
rugby awards in Monaco.
I don't get it. Well,
Prince Albert loves rugby. I actually.
So is that where we get money from?
I watched the Six Nations, Ireland versus Wales, I think it was, with Prince Albert in a pub in Monaco. He was just the champion. Tells all sorts of funny jokes, and he just loves his rugby. Loves it. So I would suggest that he's sitting there going, "Well, why don't you bring the awards to my little town, country, and we'll have a good night."
I've watched a game of rugby in a pub with a guy who had a Prince Albert, but I've never watched a game of rugby in a pub with Prince Albert.
That's quite cool, mate.
What a lad.
No, he's a true lad, mate.
Just sitting there, just souping pints and watching.
Well, I think we probably popped 4 pints, and then I said, look, I've got to go to training, which was the next day, and I was an hour and a half down the road. But, yeah, it was a good man, a few of us.
Yeah, but, I mean, isn't that the point, though? Why – that's – we're having this flash as...
So you think Prince Albert should basically fund the whole lot?
Well, no, he's just said we've got to find new money, and all of a sudden the perception is we'll go to Monaco and have this flash as awards, but we've got no money.
Yeah, well, he's not new money, though. He loves it and all that sort of stuff, and, you know, he's doing his thing.
But
he's not new money. Sheikh Mohammed Al-Fahd, whoever his name is, saying... Mate,
you want 50, oil money?
Here's 50.
You want oil money?
Here's 50,000. Here's 500 million.
No depths to which you will not
but,
descend.
Okay, but if we go to Australia and Big John or whoever is still digging out that
Big
mine
John.
And he's giving us diamond money.
Big John's cars.
What I'm trying to say is we can't keep hounding and go from the banks, the traditional banks, to go and to, you know, your traditional beer sponsors to say it's your turn for the next 5 years, it's your turn. Yes, the market's creeped by 3%, and we're actually going to offer you the same product in terms of a Six Nations or a Super Rugby. Hold on, we'll put three more teams in, make it a logistical nightmare for all the players. We'll drive them overseas because they've got no time with their families or anything like that. But this is your turn, and next time it'll come back and blah, 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 blah. And that's where I'm trying to say is you've got to develop the game a little more.
Get new people interested. That's
get new people interested. Get new people interested. Get new money. Because sport's still the only thing that people want to watch live and are completely connected. Admittedly, they always want to watch us three talking live.
No, I don't think
but,
so.
But sports is still that one neutral element that people always want to watch live and are still connected to it.
I would like to just say that we've spoken about this now for 15 minutes and have not solved a single thing, and that is right up there with the mantra of the short ball. We're going to move on, boys. We're going to move on to Super Rugby. You guys have been at the games. You've seen the trends. Mills, I've got to start with – well, I've got you both in here. We're going to start with the two Kiwi teams that haven't won a game yet.
I love how you got your computer there and I've got my phone looking like we're prepped.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Yeah, and I've got a glass of water.
Yeah, yeah, but – usually you've got a teacup, you read the tea leaves, Mills.
Nah.
Okay, the Chiefs are under a bit of pressure at the moment.
A
bit of pressure.
Let's hammer the Chiefs.
No.
I've hammered the Blues for so long about how bad they are. Well, let's get into the Chiefs.
You have not hammered how bad the Blues are.
Well,
mate.
No, because I'm delusional and I don't want to accept it that we're none from three.
Okay, well,
what are the Chiefs?
The Chiefs are zero. They're none. They have a points differential of minus 55. That is the worst in the competition. And they've still scored eight tries. That's kind of the remarkable thing. They're fifth on the try scoring. I don't know what's going on there. We spoke about it last week. Did we not think that there was an upset in the cards on Friday night?
You did. And let's just get this straight. From my perspective, I was going for the Blues this year again. Perhaps that's the reason why they keep losing. But to the Chiefs.
So you're just going for the Blues, not the Chiefs?
I just thought this year and last year, did I not say, that was going to be the Blues year. It's still early days, still another, 14-odd weeks to go.
I'm just going to put one factor in here because we're going to have a Blues-Chiefs co-chat by the sounds of it. The last week needs to be scrapped for the Blues. Too much going on
way
for that
too
team.
Much. Way
Mike
too much.
Mike Tamoyata's death. I'm sorry, teams... I know you can say that should be a motivating factor. That was a devastating event for that team to try and get over on the back of a game in South Africa coming over to Argentina. Yeah. I know that they're professionals. I know that it's the sport where you go out there to win games. But even so, a lot going on for that team. I'm prepared to put that aside. And I'm still prepared to say, regardless...
So we're none from two.
I'm prepared to still say, regardless of the Blues losing that game, that they were not the worst performing team of the week. And they get hammered all the time because of their history. And rightly so, because they've underperformed for years. But when a team has been as good as the Chiefs have been over the last 5 years, to watch that on Friday was tough. It was just tough from a rugby fan point of view.
I actually thought if you took off the Sunwolves jerseys and replaced them with the Chiefs, they could have easily been the Chiefs and the Sunwolves on the underside. They were just diabolical. And I think we spoke about it last week, the fact that Colin Cooper doesn't coach. He doesn't coach. He just oversees things. And then so the other two coaches have taken on two portfolios each, which in my eyes, I think it's way too much. So perhaps they need to do that. But you also got to look at that. They have got no experience now. And I absolutely – if someone – you've got an Anthony Brown, a Damian McKenzie, or a Retallick, one of those three go down, see you later. You know, I mean, they're Gonskis. And when you have a team, I know and there's some exciting players in there, when you've got a team so inexperienced that it's under the pump, all of a sudden, yeah, it does, it brings excitement. They want to go out and play there. But what it also brings is individuals because guys try way too hard. They want to make sure everything happens. And all of a sudden, things don't go to plan. And then they start playing all over the show. And this is what we're seeing from the Chiefs. And as much as they wanted to say, I think they said they're going to flush everything down the dunny after the Brumbies game. Holy smoke, all that stuff came back up. Mm. They need to find a new dunny because, man, they look
terrible. Yeah, that's blocked up.
Terrible. We have got the Waka Chang Chang, which is what Aucklanders drink.
And dumping.
And no, the Waikato people dumping it and
Auckland
we drink it.
We're dumping it. We're dumping it.
No, we don't.
Yeah, Auckland dumps it.
So Beaver has been eating the white bait out of the Waka Chang Chang for many a year.
Hence,
maybe
Auckland
a few
dump.
Of his issues.
Yeah, maybe covered in Auckland dump. The Blues, I'll tell you what I will say about the Blues on the weekend. I watched that game. And do you know when you watch a team and every time they have the ball, they look like they're practicing?
Yeah.
Do you know,
they're hesitant in their that step.
And because they're looking and they're thinking about, what did we do at training? I need to do this move perfectly. And what it causes is a split second hesitation. You're a second late on the pass. And I watched it over and over again. It's a team that is desperate to start doing things right. But they look like they ran out in that game, and mitigating factors aside, they look like they ran out in that game and were trying to remember what the drill was at training.
Yeah.
And that's
probably evident when Mauliano scored his first try. Like, how many guys went all the way back? You know, it's almost like a training run, okay? As soon as he kicks this out, he will go into another scenario. They all went to the ruck. They got a winger that was back there who, oh, man, I don't know what that kick was. And all of a sudden you had basically 13.
Oh, that was Maloney Nunoy's kick. Was that
no,
the one?
It was the winger.
It'll come to you.
Anyway, but it all kind of – he didn't make it out, went to the 22, and he just basically ran around off a Tuonga Fussy. It was just kind of like, you know, when you're at training and everything, you know, you've gone through heaps of reps, and then all of a sudden, okay, just get the ball out so we can go to another thing. And then that was evident. It was almost like, okay, this is a training one.
Yeah. They get – to me, it all comes out when they're in their own 22 and they're attacking and they're trying to score – and they're just very, very hesitant, as you say. They're like, oh, we haven't mapped this out, or we should have
gone
through there, and we should have done this. And as I said, I think it comes back to what Mill said around the Chiefs, is it's that lack of experience and it's that lack of belief and faith in yourself.
Cohesion, right?
That, hey, look, just go with it, mate. You're a meter, 2 meters, 33 centimeters to the right of where we did it at training.
It doesn't
actually matter, mate. Yeah. It doesn't matter, and you'll create these things. So
they had a lot of scoring opportunities, the Blues.
Oh, tons.
You know, Tommy Robinson dropped that ball close to the line. I think they had 3 drop balls right on the goal line.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless the Jags' defense, 200 tackles in the match, but you know, every single attack stat in that game was won by the Blues, except the scoreboard.
And that scrum, those scrums at the end of the game, drove me absolutely flipping insane.
Let's not even talk about that.
How do you turn the ball over in the last scrum? You turn it over, right, it's your ball, you've got nothing's on the clock, it's your ball, just get the ball out of the scrum and have a crack, lads. And what do they do? Carl Tunukuafi promotes himself too much, smokes his dude, comes out the side. It's like,
that should have been a reset scrum, though. Anyway, right?
No, it shouldn't. Why? He was the one. No, didn't it? Came out behind the sixes.
Oh, did
Robinson's
it?
Legs. From my memory of watching the game, he promoted himself too much on the left, and I was like, you just hold your position, buddy. You know, and it's like, ugh. Go the Blues.
Hurricanes taking on the Highlanders Friday night footy. What a game that's going to be. Are the Canes back? Are the Canes back? Is the return of Bowden Barrett there to save the day? Ngani Laumapi tearing strips.
What a tank, isn't he?
160 metres run, Ngani Laumapi.
That last try, how he's running towards the try line and he's like, go tackle me. Ha ha, you can't tackle me. I won't even try and fend you off. Yeah. I'll just stand there and you just bounce off me. That's so good.
Who the hell want to tackle that coming at you 5 metres ago? I'm like, bro, I'll step out of the way.
What about Jordy Barrett going to the wing this weekend? I kind of like it. It's great for Chase Tiatia. What a confidence.
Tiatia played bloody well last week, you know, and he deserves to get another start. But are they back? Possibly.
I think Bowden and Laumapi and TJ are creating a combination that gives stability and it gives confidence around let's give it a crack.
Yeah.
So I think that is the fundamental reason why they're back. And looking good. I also think, for me, Jordy Barrett moving to the wing, moving to fullback, moving to centre, that poor kid is everywhere on a chessboard. And it's like, can we let him focus? Like, he's got so much talent. I've seen him with a cricket bat. The kid can just do everything.
Yeah,
so
he's gifted.
It's almost killing him. Let him just stay in one position. Yeah. Mate, just get good at that position and you'll come over time.
Okay, but 2 weeks ago against the Crusaders, Jordy Barrett's game at fullback, he was not great. But yeah, I look at that back line for the Hurricanes. Petanata, who's, you know, obviously one of the top two halfbacks in New Zealand. Bowden Barrett, Ben Lamb, Ngani Laumapi, Matty Proctor, Jordy Barrett, Chase Tiatia is pretty much the lone guy there you would never have a conversation about in terms of the All Blacks. The rest are either All Blacks or possibly could have been given a different selection policy. It's an amazing backline. Mm. And you're up against the Barracuda, Ben Smith, Tevita Lee, Josh Iwani, who we need to talk about. That kid is gonna be going to be sensational. Good. And Aaron Smith, who I reckon is just back to his best already. Yeah. He is just turning on. The one glaring thing for me is the Highlanders midfield. C.O. Tompkinson comes back in there and Thomas Umanga-Jensen. That's pretty young against Ngani and Matt Proctor. And given C.O. has not been introduced to his arms yet, I cannot wait for the first midfield collision between Matty and Ngani and C.O. Tompkinson. I am telling you now, there is going to be
fireworks.
There's going to be a dead body in the middle of the park.
Oh, gee.
How good.
I mean, this is a new game. I'm looking forward to the loose trio battle, to be totally honest. Yeah? I mean, you've got Whitelock, Frizzell, who's in some bloody try-scoring mode at the moment, and getting around the park. And Hunt starting, is he?
No, you've got Whitelock, Lynchies, and Hemipore this week.
Oh, jeepers.
And up against Savia Karifi and Via Fafita.
I like Karifi.
She's at how duper sick Karifi.
He's a little nugget, mate. He don't take no backward step, and he's like,
yeah.
Boys, have you seen the soldiers behind me? And you're like, no, mate, it's just you mad bugger. I reckon it's awesome.
I just love a bloke who's named Duplessis. That's an amazing name, too. One of my faves. Yeah, it's going to be a great game on Friday night. And then, of course, it's Derby week in New Zealand. The Chiefs taking on the Crusaders. That's an ugly matchup for the Chiefs at the moment.
What would the TAB be playing?
Mate, I don't know. But the Chiefs, you wouldn't be getting much back on the Crusaders, would you?
You get
at AMI, or what is it, Crossroads Stadium?
Usually the Chiefs, they like going down there and actually playing it, but
that has become the biggest rivalry in New Zealand rugby.
Wow.
Crusaders Chiefs, I reckon, because they hate each other.
It has over the last few years.
If you look at the Crusaders, I mean, their rivalry with the Highlanders hate them. Their rivalry with the Chiefs, as we just touched on, the Chiefs hate them. I mean, the Hurricanes, they hate them. And then, I mean, so it leaves sort of, what is it, that one team called the Blues, and Auckland, I think they hate them. So, I mean, if you're a Crusader, everyone doesn't like you because you're so damn good. If you're Auckland, you used to be so bloody good. If you're the Chiefs, it was like, well, let's give them a courtesy and see if we could win. Now they used to be good. You got the Hurricanes, you thought, it all depends on the flip of the coin where they come out. And, you know, you could have a great match. So the rivalries sort of are existing, but then they keep moving. It's quite funny.
How is it that the Crusaders can put anyone on a team and still play exactly the same rugby as the Crusaders? But this is, in essence,
and they're scrawny little white kids that you think, there's not a lot to this kid. And then, what was this?
It's every
they
year.
They ain't no scrawny little white kids, I'll tell you that.
No, they do some lot of tin, don't they?
But here's the thing. Last year, everyone's salivating over the rise of Braden Ennor. This year, everyone's salivating over the rise of Will Jordan. A year before, it was George Bridge, Mitch Hunt. It was Richie Mwanga. It was Jack Goodhue. When does it stop with this team? When does it stop? And no one goes out. This is the thing, right? Fetu Douglas is basically covering the All Black captain and slaying it at number eight. Mm. No one walks into that team and drops the ball. And I mean that metaphorically rather than literally. No one. That is, in essence, why the Crusaders are such tough bastards, because it doesn't matter who they put in there. He'll lift his game. It's an incredible organisation. It blows my mind to watch them week in, week out, and think to yourself, how do they just keep doing this? There's no drop-off.
But if
it won't last. They'll eventually lose a game again. But
if you go down there, it's not actually that different. You know what I mean? It's not that different from any other team. You're just – but there's something, I think, internally and mentally that they take you to a space where you almost feel – my view – is they feel so relaxed and so comfortable that they deserve to be there and they should be in there, and it's their turn, their chance to play, that they have no baggage. They just play. Mm. I mean, when I went down there, literally, I would fall asleep before I walked out on the field. I was so relaxed. Robbie Deans was with me. We were so relaxed. You know, Dan and I would travel up and down from Auckland, and I'd play my best rugby. And then, you know, Mills, you'll know that when you've got a relaxed mind, when you're just going out there playing with instinct, sheesh, you're good. And I reckon that's what they do, the Crusaders. That's their secret ingredient.
Yeah, they're relaxed because they're comfortable within themselves, they're comfortable with the environment they're in, they're comfortable with the fact that if I'm in the hot seat 1 week and you're in it the next week, I'm going to help you. And they love that. There's no egos. So yep. You obviously lost yours when you went down there and you became a lot more relaxed. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're not going to training thinking, shit, man, I hope he falls over so I can start. Or, oh, man, I've missed out this week. Stuff. It's not about that.
You are revealing a lot about yourself in these statements.
No, I'm not.
Is that what you used to do?
I was exactly.
One, you like getting nude at home, but you don't like getting nude in public. Two, you're not that relaxed a guy. Three, you've got a pretty decent ego on you.
You used to wish people ill.
And we haven't even got to Spy Bar yet. I mean, seriously. Great influence.
Hey, don't you.
Let's not bring things out of the closet, boys. It's all shut.
Don't you even bring this stuff out, mate. We haven't gotten onto the flower yet.
I'll
tell you what, there's a big glass house here and a lot of stones being chucked. I'm going to stay out of this conversation.
Oh, you angel, you.
Yeah.
You should actually go in the middle, Sumo.
I'm not. I can't go in the middle of you two. I want to do talk about the Sunwolves, though. They've got the Blues this weekend. The Sunwolves will back themselves here. The Sunwolves will literally, I mean, the Blues have a devastating week last week. They are 3 losses on the trot. They've been from Africa to Argentina back home. They're playing at North Harbour Stadium that they hate against the Sunwolves, who are all puckered up and saying, monkeys off the back, boys, let's go to town. I'd be chucking lazy money on the Sunnies here. I reckon they can do it again.
Well, I could take your lazy money.
Do you want to take
I'll that? Take $100.
Can we do a wager?
I'll take your other hundy.
Head to head that the Blues will beat the Sunwolves.
Yeah. I can't see it. I can't see the Sunnies getting up.
Sunnies / Chiefs. I can't see them getting up. I see extra motivation, but extra – I would say they would have pulled the throttle right back at the Blues because of the travel, and it's actually going to help the players because, as I said, it will clear their head. They would have gone home. They would have had some time to individually understand and comprehend what's happened and, you know, the meanings behind these things with Mike. And, you know, I just think they'll go out and they'll say, look, to be honest, I'm an 8-year-old playing rugby in the backyard. And that's the only way you've got to look at it.
Man, I hope they do. I hope they do. And then Australia's got a couple of derbies as well. The Rebels and the Brumbies and the Tars and the Reds. Forget the Queensland-New South Wales rivalry for a second. Do we need to talk about Quade Cooper?
We don't have to, but we should. I mean, he's playing well.
Here's the thing. I like Quade. I know that the rivalry that he had with the All Blacks sometimes crossed the line, and you know, that's what it was. But I don't know. I think he's just grown as a human being because he's playing like he's dropped. You mentioned the word baggage before, Ali. He looks like he's dropped a lot of his off. And him and Will Guinea together, that is always a threat for me. I love it.
I like the way, like, for a lot of guys – been put in that situation where you're not wanted. Mm-hmm. You're the best, possibly the best 10 in the country. You're not wanted. Go back and play club rugby. A lot of guys, and he was probably would be one of those guys that would drop your lip and go, oh, stuff it then, you know, stuff this place, whatever. But the way he's come back after 12 months and not sort of gone out there to say, this is all about me. I'm going to do all my stepping and things like that and try and be the man in this team. He's gone out there and just hasn't gone out of his way. He's just controlled the game really well and been real stable. Well, that's what I really love about how he's playing at the moment. It hasn't been about Quade Cooper. So when you talk about guys maturing and you talk about the mental space that he's had to go to and sort of had to overcome because he wasn't wanted, I think it's fantastic and it's bloody good for Australian rugby. So I know it's only round 3. He deserves to be back in there.
I agree. I think as a guy, the external part that we all see, I think, you know, it's probably 15% of who the guy really is. I mean, I know him. I don't know him really, really well, but I know him good enough to understand that there's a humble man in there. There's a kid and a boy that just wants to play rugby. There's a guy that really wants to challenge himself. And then there's a guy that's extremely vulnerable and, you know, is not always as comfortable as everyone makes him out to be. Mm. And, you know, he's used that diversity. He's used that those times of who am I? He's come back and what you just said, Mills, is he's just doing the simple things right. He's not trying to create it or turn it all around in the first week of Super Rugby, is he? He's just slowly building. He's slowly building. And when Guinea is on fire and, Quade's on fire because, I mean, Quade would probably be the first one to say that you know, Will Guinea is pivotal to his game, his vision and his teamwork, and they are a true combination.
Oh, yeah.
When, I mean, I would suggest that Will can look at Quade in the eye and go, this kid doesn't want the ball. Even though he's saying he wants the ball, he don't want the ball. I'll take the ball. I'll relieve it. I'll kick. I'll look for a runner. I'll have a dab. He doesn't want the ball. But, you know, I would say that connection with them is so strong that Will's really focused on his game. Quade's focusing on his game. And together they're on fire. So as Mills said, you know, they'd be your 9-10 at the moment in the Aussie team. Early days, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I like the Rebels' back line, full stop.
Yeah.
You know, you got Quade Cooper running the cutter. Billy Meeks.
Yeah.
I love watching Billy Meeks play. Yeah. Jack Maddox, Dane Haylett Petty. You got Marika Kurabeti there as well. Tom English. I mean, that's a solid looking back line for the Rebels. I think the big challenge for them is going to be seeing whether that pack can stay with the big Aussie packs for the whole season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And other big packs in the competition. I mean, they're good players, especially Adam Coleman. Robbie Abel's been around long enough to know how to get around the track, but that's going to be their challenge. But I'm enjoying the Rebels. I'm enjoying the fact that they're winning games because I think, you know, for Australian rugby, that's great to see. It's an expansion team that was stayed. Remember, they stayed at the expense of the Western Force.
And there's a lot of Barney over there in Perth around that whole thing. That's a nasty place to go. When it talks about rugby, but you know they've stuck to it. They've had their people that stuck by them, and now you've got players that are saying, "My turn, I'm relaxed. Let's just do it." So, rugby team's winning though. What do we think?
Yeah, I like it.
You like it?
Yeah, no, I do. And I've long said, we've talked about this for 3 years now, right? About the demise of Australian rugby, or the struggles they've had.
I like it.
I don't think New Zealanders realise how important it is to have a strong neighbour right there, especially. We go back to the start of the short ball today, especially when we're talking about the globalisation of the game.
Correct.
No, if you don't have a friend next door and a friend that's actually got some clout, then you are a couple of little islands at the bottom of the world trying to say, yeah, but we're the All Blacks. Yeah, well, I tell you what, it doesn't wash with the North now. It's not going to wash with the North after this either.
Yep.
Well, that's been it, boys. That's the short ball today. Millsy, what's your game of the round? Is it? I'm assuming it's a derby game.
Oh, it has to be tomorrow night's game. The Hurricanes and the Highlanders at the in Wellington.
Mine's the Blues and the Sunwolves. I'd really like to see a solid match there. You know, I just think there's
solid from who?
From the Blues, mate. Do you think I'm going to get off this boat? No, I put all my money. I put everything in this boat.
Did we just put $100 on this game?
We did.
Jesus. I better call my wife. Okay. Well, I'm going to look for the Crusaders and Chiefs. This to me is. This is a game for the Chiefs to prove that they are still the Chiefs that we know and love.
Yeah.
Look, they've got to go. If they do something special in this game, season defining.
It is. It will be. Yep. Absolutely.
Good luck in Christchurch. That's been the short ball. Make sure you check out all the action, Super Rugby and the rest on rugbypass.com. Ali Williams, Mills Molina, Scotty Stevenson. We'll be back with you next week.